listeners, and welcome to a brand new episode of what is now known to be The Chat. That's right, we took a little break and we are back with a new title and a whole new entire format. This time around, we will not only be discussing our favorite daytime dramas, but we will also be discussing cooking shows, talk shows, anything to do with daytime. So it's a new format with the same host. Let's talk to them now. Tiggs, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Casey. How are you?
I'm doing well and I'm refreshed. Rodrigo, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Black History Month as well.
Yes.
and we get a leap year this year, so that's a bonus.
Yes.
Yesterday, yay.
Okay. Little Laquisha gonna ask me to celebrate her birthday this year on 29.
Hey. And speaking of Black History Month, Dee, how are you?
I'm feeling amazing. The season Lucci of this broadcast is here, so it's super black and super powerful.
Susan Lucci, allegedly. And then the man who is wider than a Mento but will still celebrate Black History Month. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Alan's wanted to show up to everyone from the White First Month on Twitter.
Alrighty, well, let's just jump right into it. We have so much to discuss. We're going to start off with talk about All My Children and One Life to Live. Nathan Fillion recently hung out with the ladies at The View, and there he discussed his ever-continuing gratitude for his time at One Life to Live. When Whoopi Goldberg asked him about his acting trajectory, Fillion stated that everything I do every day I learned from that show, I will never speak poorly of daytime. And then Whoopi chimed in by saying, I miss the soaps, I really do. Dee, what do you think about Fillion stopping by the table to chat with the ladies, and what are some of your favorite memories from his time on One Life to Live?
Okay, so my personal thing is this. Any single person that was ever on daytime should give props. I mean, it's a trial by fire. You have so much dialogue to learn, so many pages that you need to learn. You need to do it rapid fire, rapid pace. It gets you ready for prime time, for movies, for everything. If you made it through daytime, you can make it through anything. If they did reboot both shows, either shows, a hybrid of the shows, I would be all for it. And you already know, every time he got butt naked with Dorian, I was about that life. So, there you go.
And then, Rodrigo, Fillion went on to say, I don't know where an actor can go to work with people who have been in the business 25, 35, even 40 years. I just said that I have no idea what I'm doing, and then they say, no problem, here's what you do, and they then just take care of me. They were really good people. So, Rodrigo, about that statement, how do you feel about Fillion's time at One Life to Live and his continued gratitude?
Oh, man, Nathan Fillion. Say what you want, but he has always given props to daytime. He has never forgotten where he came from. When he came back for Ace's funeral, sexy and all, Joey just came back, and that little scene, little moment he had with Robin Strasser, Dorian. I mean, those two were the hottest things to me, was Joey and Dorian.
Yes. And
that's what started the whole Gene Randolph and Vicky storyline. Great memories. And the chemistry that Strauss and Fillion had was just amazing. And I just love actors who do not forget where they come from. I can't stand a motherfucking actor who disregards their soap roots and pretends they never came from soaps, and they don't want on their resume, and they're not proud of it. Look at Julianne Moore, one of the biggest movie stars in the world. She comes back to last episode of As the World Turned, towards the end.
That motherfucking class.
Class.
God damn it.
You can't
say that. Ain't gonna work this gangway and pay her shit, look liberal.
Tamika, you leave Julianne alone.
Oh my gosh. He just gave her a
For real. Well, I say that is because Nathan, it's called giving back to where you came from. It's called giving respect for the genre that gave you the life you have today. And you just love to see it. I mean, I love when actors who've made it big respect their roots and say, yes, being in daytime is hard work. People think it's so easy to go on that daytime set and memorize 100 pages of dialogue and take 4 episodes a week. Like, it's a grind. It is a truth. People can't do it. Joan Collins couldn't do it. Joan Van Ark couldn't do it. So, like, for these guys to embrace their past, I love it. I love it. So, more power to Nathan Villian. And Whoopi Goldberg, you should be ashamed of your damn self. DH is still on ABC, idiot. Souls is still on the air. I can't believe they just flubbed that one up. But that was the only thing I didn't like. But anyway.
Well, continuing talk about All My Children and One Life to Live, Tiggs, I want your opinion on this. Soaps in Depth recently asked Carrie Burke, the president of ABC Entertainment, on if there is still talk about All My Children and One Life to Live on the network or even Disney Plus. And she stated that there have been more discussions, but I can't tell you more than that. Tiggs, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, first off, always loved Nathan Fillion. Like, I wasn't watching One Life when he was playing Joey, but I do remember him coming back for ABC Tomorrow, and I like that. And he's always, you know, had great things to say about folks, and I appreciate people like him, and Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Eva LaRue, and Josh Duhamel, who was just like, look, I wouldn't be shit if it wasn't for y'all, thank you. And that's all we want. But anyway, it's not hard. It's not hard to do this. When Prospect Park first tried to do this 7 years ago, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And you know, it, not to blame them. You know, they were ahead of their time. Hulu, Netflix, they were just getting up off the ground 7 years ago. It was a show here, a show there. But now that we have, you know, Netflix films being nominated for Oscars and Hulu series being nominated for Emmy, why the fuck not? Bring them back. You can do 4 episodes, 4 30-minute episodes a week. You can air them every day. You can post them on Hulu, I say 2 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. That'd be cute, 2, 3 p.m. Eastern time. It'd be like 11, 12 o'clock on the West Coast. Post them by that time, 4 days a week, 4 30-minute episodes of each show. And that'd be cute. We ain't asking for much. And ABC, Disney owns a part of Hulu. So y'all gonna get the revenue back? Shit. Why not? But bullshit. Just do it.
But isn't it that season where they always talk about this? Isn't it that time of year that
you see an article every 2-3 months. You see 3 articles a month. Are the Stokes coming back? Suda Lucci and Walt Willie talk about.
ABC needs to realize. It has been 9 years since y'all decided to cancel these shows, and people still talk about it. People still want them back. So motherfucker, do it. Shoulda get off the pot. Do it. Why the fuck?
Meanwhile, they put it.
We own everything else in this motherfucker. We own the soap. Shit.
Now, Alan.
We figure the daytime soaps. You can do that just for a modern time. I don't want that weekly shit. I don't want that. I want it daily, goddammit. Streamline that shit. Go ahead, Kate.
Well, I mean, like Hulu or Netflix, Tiggs, they could just shoot a whole season and then release it all at once. So what if we got All My Children at 20 episodes and then they just released it all?
That could be true.
Just
bring it back.
Format
doesn't
matter.
Just bring it back. Yeah.
You can do a good 13-episode arc of the show. It don't have to be 5 days a week. I mean, I know that model. They can't. They ain't going to do that. They're not going to do that. But
they can't.
I mean, they could. I mean, look at Dave. Shit. Dave has shot 12 years in 2 months. But like Casey said, like they can do 20 to 25 episodes. They can shoot them, post them on Hulu.
Like, they keep doing arc like they
can do that.
Or like they every
yeah.
Yeah. Or like they do with Poor Charles.
Yes.
Like and they do with Poor Charles with Night Shift.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They keep doing it.
It's possible.
We're not done it.
They were asking to bring back. You don't have to bring back the whole
everybody
back. It's not realistic. But you can bring a few of the vets back and then you play off the kids or the next generation. Just do, you could do a show like that. And then the vets will be the background character that's going to set up all the stories and whatnot.
Yeah.
But,
well, and you look at what days.
Because, see, that was the first thing Prospect Park. The first, that first fuck up, you don't mention All My Children. Unless Susan Lucia part the motherfucking deal. You fucked up when you first did that shit. That was your first fuck up.
You lost half your viewers.
See, because they damn near did that with One Life Live. They was like, okay, fuck it. Let's go ahead and hit up Slay that. Let's do that. But no, y'all fucked up with that. You don't do shit when it comes to All My Children without Susan motherfucking Lucci. Fuck it. You're done. Sorry. You're done.
Now,
you don't do shit when it comes to One Life Live without hit Slay that. Point blank period and motherfucking Robert Strat. Point blank period.
So, Alan, Carrie Burke also had some praise to give to General Hospital. When asked about the last soap opera on ABC, she said, "It's a successful business for us. The fact that they have perfected that model is frankly an example to other producers in our midst." So, now, Alan.
I know. She tried that. She
tried it. Alan, what do you think? Now, hold on, guys. Hold on. Let.
I was going to drink my cocktail as he goes. But it was just a bullshit.
Alan, what are your thoughts on this, considering how soap fans feel about General Hospital on Twitter in terms of Frank Valentini and Nathan Varney's leadership? With that in mind, Alan, what is your opinion on this?
Casey, you were playing games.
Girl! Daisy!
You're being messy, y'all.
So messy.
You're being messy.
So messy.
You are flowing right now. Let me make
go
you.
On
now.
Go on, Alan. Go on, Alan.
Bullshit.
Go on, Gavin.
Alan, go ahead and drag these bitches like I know you're going to do. Go ahead.
Wow. Charles has been a little bit better lately. Glad to see a little shift in people, like the black people are getting a little bit more writing. Things are a little bit better, like Ridiculous and like that, but it's still a bit of a mess because you still have a fucking older year old man having his widow's kids who are not in time. Fucking Mo. Fucking bullshit. I don't understand why he's supposed to be the most powerful character man himself. He's not that talented. He has his fucking writing on his fucking hand or whatever lines. Why do you teach to him? Why? He's not so that he only says he only fucking cater to him. He's from the price.
Now, D, do you have anything to add?
About General Hospital in general, or about its leadership?
About its leadership and Carrie Burke's statement.
Because there's not really leadership going on, and I don't know what show she's watching. The show that I've been watching since I was in my mother's womb.
She's probably watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, the writing is getting better. You can see some definitive changes in there, and there have been changes for the better. There are more interactions. There's more family relationships. But you can do whatever you want to do. It will not change. Change starts at the top. I'm sure Frank is really good at balancing the budget, but he needs to go. He is making a toxic environment. There is a reason why people are jumping ship from that show every time you turn around. And then the other people that are there, there's a large portion of them that are there, and they're just cashing that check. So I feel like if you want to make true change, Nathan needs to go, Frank needs to go. I'm not saying hashtag fire Frank. I mean, that's been around for like ever. I'm just saying you're not going to have any positive changes until you start from the top and change the entire leadership team. I mean, we've had how many writers? You can have all the head writers in the world, but if the people at the top are still making trash-ass decisions, excuse my French. I'm sorry, Auntie. I said I wouldn't curse on the show, but here I am cursing like a sailor. So, it starts at the top. You're not going to make any changes if you don't change the people and their mindsets and how certain people are always the lead and the focus. And all the people on Twitter can say whatever you want to say. You already know. Every show, you can guarantee that the She Beef Carly is going to be somewhere injected into it. If she's not, then Sunny's going to be shoehorned into it. If Sunny's not shoehorned into it, then that mindless automaton Jason is going to be injected into it. You can say whatever you want to say. There will be a storyline that has nothing to do with them, and they will find a way to get them in there so that they can get their guarantees in their episodes. And all it's doing is making people turn and tune out. Like, they are not paying attention to the polls. They are not paying attention to the... I mean, Twitter, for the most part, is a really good polls. The whole baby swap storyline is playing out. Like, it's finally playing out. And the thing that everyone is pissed off about is that Carly is fighting Michael's battles. He is not 10, 12, redheaded Michael, whatever you want to call it. He is a grown man. He has nuts. He has hair on his nuts. In theory, he should have hair on his chest. Let him use his chest and speak for himself. He is too old for his mom to be fighting his battles, especially when he's supposed to be the head of DLQ. This is just one of many things that I could talk about, but we only have a limited amount of time, so I'm going to shut up now. Thanks.
So, Tiggs.
No shade to Laura. It's no shade to Laura. I love Laura. I love her.
She delivers.
It is overkill. It is overkill. This turned into a Carly storyline. This story is supposed to be about Michael, Lucas, and Brad, and has turned into Carly's point of view. Carly is yelling for a whole 55 goddamn minutes before Chad duels Michael can say one word edgewise. Why did
this is very off-putting.
Why did they have her take over? It was off-putting. And people on Twitter, y'all kissed my ass. I said what I said. Carly was not needed in this episode. The reveal did not have to happen at the Corinne Thought compound. It did not have to happen there. They could have had a different ass scenario where this reveal could have happened, and you should have had Michael, Lucas, and Brad as front and center.
Well, but I think this, you know, it's quite interesting.
Goddamn Quartermain Mansion, because that is Alan and Monica's great grandson. That should have been happening at Quartermain Mansion.
But I think this shows an overall view. I think this shows an overall view of what's wrong with General Hospital storytelling still, is that the stories are not impactful enough. So, you know, you look at The Bold and the Beautiful's baby switch, and consider what you will about it, but that impacted almost every contract player on the canvas. And, you know, it's not really, in my opinion, a matter that The Bold and the Beautiful is only half hour and General Hospital is an hour. That should not matter when it comes to soap opera storytelling. When you have 15 characters that were impacted by baby swap on The Bold and the Beautiful, and then 4 characters on General Hospital, but you don't hear from those 4 characters, there's something wrong there about how General Hospital perceives an umbrella storyline.
That is because
And it starts at the top, like Dee said. The same producers had the same mentality about Sunny, Jason, and Carly for years. That they are the leads of the show. We have to care about what the fuck they think. They're always going to win. Everyone are losers. And I'm like, and you change every writer. The only writer that challenged that shit was Ron Calabotti. He challenged it, and he got fired for it. So...
I love you, Uncle Rod. You were the best. I don't care what anybody says. That was the best time to be living for General Hospital.
Yes.
Why? People that didn't have a voice were allowed to have a voice.
A voice.
It was great.
Bad. People had points of view. Michael Quartermain was born out of Ron's writing.
Oh, Lord. Hey,
come on.
And then
someone had a problem with it. No. And it got him fired.
Well,
so,
these
other writers have to be in line. They have to be in line of what Frank and Nathan want. They try their best
to
do a little something.
They need
they're being in line of what Maurice Bernard wants. And it's like, somebody, like I said, tell him, Mickey Mouse don't give a flying fuck about Sonny if that show gets canceled. Nobody cares. You ain't air bait, bitch.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting that you look at.
So it's like, no, Sonny Caruso squished team victor number. You are not air bait. And somebody needs to tell him that. This show can good and well go on.
You gonna get what I think of Carolyn Carl.
The show went on. The show went on without Luke Spencer.
First time it went on. It went on and things went was moving.
The show went on.
It went right back to what it was.
The show went on without a Luke Spencer. And say what you will about Tony Geary, I certainly have my opinions about him, but Tony Geary, Maurice Bernard will never ever be on the same level as him, and yet the show went on the moment Tony Geary left. So that should tell Maurice Bernard something, that you can do a soap opera without anybody.
The show will keep going. Yeah, you got your little handful of Trump supporters that are Miss Sunny. Other than that, nobody cares.
Well, that's another thing I wish he would stop doing is sending them rabid ass fans after people.
Well, speaking
right,
of.
He needs to stop doing that. It's petty. It's like more getting something better.
It was tanks against the world,
fans.
Baby.
It's
tanks against the world. And I still say what the fuck I said. I'm like, no, fuck this. This show's about
oh, yeah.
What the fuck he is for Sonny Caruso. Nobody give a fuck. And anybody, I'm sorry. What type of woman that will support the way that Sonny treated Ava? Like, no, when he's just as horrible as she is. Fuck you.
Well,
like,
speaking
no.
of rabid-ass fans, those fans returned to The Bold and the Beautiful the week after the soaps came back from many, many preemptions. Out of the ratings race for that week, The Bold and the Beautiful gained the most viewers with a whopping 242,000 viewer gain. Meanwhile, General Hospital gained the least with only 29,000 viewers coming back post-preemption. So, Rodrigo, we'll start with you here. Talk about the ratings game and why you think so many people came running back to The Bold and the Beautiful post-preemption.
Familiarity. Like, Bold and Beautiful is one of those shows. It can lose all these ratings one week, and all of a sudden, they'll pop right back on up because Brad will start doing some type of surprise story or something he'll make up. But both fans are like the most loyal fans. They'll come back for anything. Whether the show yes, y'all loyal. You guys are loyal to a fault.
I will tell you why we came back. There's two reasons why. Number one is because we technically didn't lose Bold. It was on the app, so we could still watch it. You know, it wasn't like General Hospital where it just completely went off the air. Like, there was nothing.
We might as well call this General Hospital's reboot.
Same thing as Y&R. The other reason why Bold keeps viewers is because every once in a while, Brad will read my Twitter page, and he will drag Liam. He will drag Felony Flow. He will drag them through the gutter, call them out on their mess. Just when you get tired, he will come through and be like, what? Do something that will get people watching. He will put a couple back together that half of the crowd can't stand, and that the other one they're watching just to see what the mess is. He knows how to play to the audience. And then he gets us back on Twitter. He gets us back angry, and then there we are. We're watching. Then somebody will say this happened, and then everyone will tune in to see what the mess is. That is why Bold keeps viewers. I'm just saying. That's what happened.
And Bold has some good people. They have the PR.
They can call Liam all they want, but the longest length of Seffy and Hope, he's acting like fucking idiots when it comes to him. It doesn't matter.
You better leave King Klingeling alone, okay?
Somebody needs to come to Barry and be like, this is fucking sexist. This is sexist and it's offensive.
Oh.
Because I did it at fan club. Two beautiful young women in this day and age would fucking never deal with the bullshit they deal with Liam. For the last 10 years,
that's what we said.
Ever. Now maybe
we said it.
You are never. It's fucking sexy.
We did say it. He got told. Casey got told. The executive producer, like, we have told him, like, I literally took in a coup at Bola Beautiful Fan Club and said, can you put Steffi with someone whose last name is not Spencer? Can you find a man for him? I have it in writing, and that reminds me, when I see him at the daytime, and you already know, I'm going to show up, because I'm mad, because he said that Steffi was going to get another man. You don't put your little 20-year-old homeboy, it looks like he just now busted his first nut here, here for a day to appease me. I'm sorry. That is not what we're doing. Stephanie's a real man, and preferably one whose last name is not Spencer. You won't give us Bill and Steffi. You won't give us the triangle that we want with Katie, Bill, and Steffi. So move her out of the sphere of Loke and those rabbit fans, since you're talking about rabbit fans, and give Steffi a new man, one that is not related. Give us Carter and Steffi. Yes. We've been asking for this for I don't know how many years. We can't get started. We've been asking forever. You can't bring Leo back. We've been asking for Leo forever.
Shit.
Give Steffi a man that Hope has not slept with. That would be good. That Hope has no relationship with. Let's start it over.
D,
let's do it.
D, at this point, I would take... D, at this point...
They could bring back Deacon's son, Lil D. They could bring him back. He can be wrong. Oh. At least, I don't mind Hope and Steffi fighting, but give them another reason to fight for.
Well, and, you know, you look back on the Taylor...
Fuck Ridge.
You look back on the Taylor-Brook Ridge triangle. You know, and I hate when people say...
You know we don't talk about that person.
About that. I need my Ambrosia Moore back on this show. Adrian Franz is still out there. And she's still out in Twitter world begging somebody on CBS get her back on The Young and the Restless or Bold or something.
I need
it about
Amber not being on that camp. Amber should be in Brooke's ass face. That's the only person Brooke I know. Brooke Amber is not scared of is Brooke, because she will go toe to toe with her and not give a damn. Why don't you bring Amber back?
So okay,
bring Amber back. Bring Amber back and surprise Amber and Rick got married off screen or something. Come on, shake up some shit.
And I'm tired. I am tired of the Bold and the Beautiful not being about the fucking Forresters. I'm tired of that.
So, see, I'm doing a Bold and Beautiful.
Where are the Forresters? Quit killing off the Forresters.
There's like three Forresters.
Where the fuck are the Forresters? Quit killing off the Forresters.
So, see, I...
There's nobody left.
You're four of them left.
Where's Kristen?
Do our viewers would just think the Bold and Beautiful started when Bill signed up Leon with his son, and then went from there. No, the show survived for 20 years for that.
I got really bored one day. I got really bored one day when my school closed down for a snow day. And I started writing. I broke out my laptop and I started writing a Bold and Beautiful fan fiction. Because I tuned into that show one day and I was too through with it. So anyway, I had Amber come back when Sally quits her job, you know, to go take her trip of a lifetime. And Steffi decides to bring Amber back to L.A., to take Steffi's job at Forrester Creations. And then during this time, Thomas wants to get with Amber to scheme and to get married to her to build up the board in his favor so he can take revenge on Hope and shut down Hope for the future and then also get Brooke kicked out of there. So, see, I came up with that story in 25 minutes. So why can't Brad come up with a compelling story when he's been writing this show for 25 years?
Hashtag, where are the Forresters?
I'm still waiting for Taylor to come back.
Shit, I'll tell you what. Hunter Tylo said, I will get my next lip injection to come back to the Bold and the Beautiful.
Because Brooke does not have a formidable... like a foe on that. She doesn't have no rival. Like a good rival on that.
They won't let Shauna be great on there. She needs to come snatch a man, snatch her whole life. They won't let her be great. They won't.
So anyway, let's talk about the Bold and the Beautiful's sister soap opera, The Young and the Restless. The Young and the Restless rolled out the red carpet this past week to celebrate Eric Braeden's 40th anniversary on the show in the role of Victor Newman. They brought back Robert Peruka as Matt Miller, Robert Adamson as Noah, and, of course, the ever-so-lovely Meg Bennett as Julia. So, Dee, we'll start with you. What did you think of the episodes and then the cliffhanger of Victoria getting knifed?
Okay, so the irony of this is that I saw at a fan event, right? So then, of course, this is happening, and then here comes the 40th. I liked it. I felt like, for the most part, it was really well done. I mean, it wasn't too just over the top. Oh, I love Victor. He's so great. He's so wonderful. Because we had Adam sitting there playing off, you know, being the outsider, you know, wanting his dad's affection, but not, you know, necessarily getting it. So you have that going on. I mean, if Abby could have just got lost, the episode would have been perfect for me, because you know how I feel about her. But I felt like it was all of, you know, I felt like it was, for the most part, it was really well done. I was just not down with, I call it Stalker Bay upgraded to Stabby Bay. Why you gonna have the fine one go stab people? Like, I'm sorry. There's a big old debate raging on Twitter about how he should have known that wasn't Amanda, that was Victoria. I mean, their hairline, their hairstyle was similar. The dress was white and off the shoulder. I guess if you, like, when they're doing your iteration, you can get it. That part I had an issue with. Why you gonna have black people stabbing people during Black History Month? But what? I mean, for the most part, I felt like it was really well done. I felt like the sequencing was really, it was quick. But it was just enough to keep you interested, not enough to get you bored. I like how they did the little, you know, the little flashbacks. They were really well done. I mean, I liked it overall, other than, you know, Stabby Bay going in, killing people, you know, trying to kill people and stuff. That part wasn't cool. But, I mean, if you'd have waited till March 1st when it was not Black History Month, or, you know, could have had somebody else get stabby, that would have been fine, but whatever.
Now, Alan, which anniversary, which 40th anniversary episode do you think was better, Melody Thomas Scott's or Eric Braeden's?
Well, Eric Braeden's was more on his allergies than he has the freaking, really terribly colorblind, but I think Melody Thomas episode was overall better because they had more flashbacks, it was very emotional. This one was just okay for me.
Now,
Victoria stabbed. I can see how it was dark, and they did have similar hairstyles, but they have different body types. They do have different body types. Michelle Morgan has bigger boobs than Mia Hindley. Sorry, she does. You can tell they are different people. If you're not here, one of them, you know.
She steps in a booty, baby.
Now, Tiggs, from Neil being blind to Drusilla being high on cough medicine, black people have always had vision problems in Genoa City. So what did you think of what did you think of Ripley's vision issue and stabbing Victoria?
I watched the episode because I wanted to catch up a little, because this is the first time I've watched one on about 6 months, child. So I caught up a little bit of the episodes or whatever.
I'm a big fan.
No, you know, I'm finally guessing because, you know, somebody at CBS decided to pull the Glock out on Josh Griffin's bitch ass. Like, why the episode? Why the storyline? Why the soap opera bitch? Are you out of here? Fuck Steve Kent. And he was like, okay, Holiday. I got the bike, Holiday. So it was fine. But, no, seeing this, I guess, it like, was he just rushed and he did it? I guess, okay. But like Alan said, like, that man got way more ass than Victoria. Like, you just ran but said, oh, she got that much ass. Well, I get it, though, because they both had on white, it was dark, they got, you know, okay, girl, whatever, I guess. But I'm just like, where are we going here? Like, it's like, Chase and Thompson and Michelle Morgan have chemistry, but it's like, this all been laid out wrong. I don't like it. So, like, what are we doing? I don't know. But the Eric Braeden tribute, I loved it. It reminded me of my grandmother. It reminded me of Bill Bell. And this is why we do this. This is why. And like I said on Twitter earlier, y'all, all your know, shit wasn't gonna be right. Aaron Brady would have cussed everybody out of television. Shit, he would have run across the street. He would have cussed out Kelly Lane, Jackson, Kim Wood, Allie Mills. I'm sorry, Allie. I know you're going through a hard time, baby. But he would have cussed out every damn body. You got that?
This is true.
All I do is shoot the clothes, motherfucker. I don't know what's going on. What? For me, it was great. It was great. Like I said, I still want Matt Miller to turn out being either Amanda's daddy or Elena's daddy, because we were the Black Million, and Victor got enough kids.
Now, see, so I wanted Keisha Monroe to turn out to be Elena's mom.
You want to who?
Keisha
Black Million.
So, Keisha Monroe. Do you guys remember Keisha Monroe?
No, okay.
Lord, okay.
No,
Keisha Monroe.
We're not getting there.
Crickets.
Okay, so, see, okay.
Keisha, but no. Oh, you're talking about Keisha. Didn't Keisha die?
Yes, she of AIDS. And remember, she caused
AIDS.
All
she
the... She caused...
Really?
No, now, hold on now. She caused all those problems for Olivia and Nate and Neil and Drew. So it would just be such a generational impact.
Casey, the Supervisors don't remember that either. They don't remember that stuff.
Well, I can't help it that you all don't know your soap history.
Leave the Bill Gunn classic alone. Leave that classic story alone.
Jesus Christ.
No, now, Tiggs. When we're talking about The Young and the Restless, you can't say Jesus Christ. You got to say Dear God in Heaven. That is a rule.
Oh, Dear God in Heaven.
Yeah.
You have to say something, Jesus.
Okay, so... I just think it's appropriate that Eric Braden was celebrated this month because he is the most popular character in the Black community. Everybody knows him. Black people know who Victor Newman is. You
right.
Say Victor Newman, they know who the hell he is.
You say
they don't have to watch.
You say Eric Payne, you know who the fuck they are.
You know who Victor
because
Newman.
You knew who they are because you knew their grandmother. Knew who the fuck
yes.
They are.
Exactly.
He's part of history. I love Eric Braden. I love his zaniness. I love his antics. I just love all that shit he does. He is one of the best actors on daytime.
And I know that he's such a rabid-ass Democrat. I love that.
He is rabid-ass. But he's got
to be Don't quote me. But I think that's one of the reasons he busted Peter Bergman in the shit. Because I think Peter Bergman is a motherfucking Republican. I think that's why he busted shit back in the day. But you ain't heard it from me.
But
Tiggs, stop.
That's why he didn't like that chemo story.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, though. If Peter Bergman wants
to... You said chemo. We can shut down.
But you know, he didn't have little blacks in the Rooney last year.
Tiggs, what?
He had blacks in the Rooney last year that was 4 months old. You know, he probably only wanted her because she was young.
Tiggs, what you just did, they gonna shut us down. That is the equivalent of singing All My Children... That is the equivalent of singing All My Children's Prospect Park theme song. Peter Bergman gonna sue the shit out of us now for even thinking about chemo.
He gonna sue you.
He'll be alright, goddammit.
You already know I can't afford the subscription service to get us more time on Anchor.
Like, goddammit, I want some Air Fu Yon at the motherfucking Abba Mansion, bitch. No, he didn't.
Stop. Tiggs, you know I can't afford extra time on Anchor, so what makes you think I can afford a lawyer when Peter Bergman comes for our asses? Yes.
Well, it's ironic. His 40-year anniversary show was so much better than the 40th anniversary of the...
I'm telling you, I'm serious. And they both revolved around him, isn't that?
Okay, she don't say herself. You know, she don't give a fuck about
him. Now, you know... Now, if this was Jill Farrah Phelps here...
She gave them motherfuckers. They ain't say shit about the anniversary. She'll give them
Now, see, if this... Oh, dear God.
48%
Now, see, if this was Jill Farrah Phelps... I tell you what, though, if this was Jill Farrah Phelps, if this was Jill Farrah Phelps, Victoria would wake up from her coma.
We get sued by everybody. We get sued by everybody.
Oh, Lord. Casey, keep it moving, Casey. Keep this moving. Keep it moving, please.
Well,
next topic.
Oh, my Lord, you guys. I tell you what, though, if this was Jill Farrah Phelps running this show, Victoria would wake up and you'd hear, the role of Victoria Newman is now being played by Brian Frantz. Steve Burton returns for his second role as the compelling transgender daughter of Victor Newman. The role of no, I gotta stop. The role of Phyllis Newman is now being played by Jamie Luna.
Oh, don't go there.
I might have just got Jamie Luna a jab. That's it.
Now here it goes. Here he goes. There he goes.
What she should do. Is get a Martinez another job after what she did there in that General Hospital.
I'll tell you what, here, no, this is a good one. The role of Ray Rosales is now being played by Kale Brown.
The
role of Arturo Rosales is now being played by A. Martinez. Like, goddamn, me have been stressing him out that goddamn bad as one.
I am so surprised if Jill was still on the show, you know that Rosales, the father, would have been with A. Martinez.
You already know.
That would have been definite.
The role of Jill Foster is now being played by Ellen Wheeler.
Oh, no.
But you know that's the type of shit that Jill would do, though. You know that is the type of shit Jill would do.
For real, you already know, for the 40th anniversary.
The role of Matt Miller would now be played by Christopher Galvin. Oh, bitch.
Bitch, where you at?
Y'all just problematic today. Y'all being problematic today.
She's nicely retired. God bless.
That bitch ain't retired. Please. Please.
Let NBC be like,
Jill, hey girl, how you doing, bitch? If we offer you a $65 book of food trips, you come back GH?
She like, y'all got
coffee?
Bruh. Casey,
you better move this show along. Lord have mercy. We gonna get fired.
Well, anyway, before we wrap things up, we do have to turn to a more serious note now. I wanted to do this had we recorded last week, but I just want to extend our heartfelt condolences to Allie Mills, who tragically lost her husband Orson Bean in a traffic accident. Our thoughts and prayers are with Allie Mills, and we hope to see her soon on The Bold and the Beautiful. But for now, we just wish her well, and we give prayers to her friends and family, and of course, the rest of Orson Bean's loved ones. With that in mind, Dee, where can our listeners find you on social media?
Provided that I don't get my account shut down by all these little haters out here that shut down my homie Matt Hamsky, I am at TMZB.
And the ever so lovely Tiggs, where can they find you?
They can find me at the best 1109. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I had a good weekend with my man.
And Rodrigo. Rodrigo, where can Peter...
I hope they need to finally give Charlie and Pam a motherfucker away. Everybody in Los Angeles, California, get married with these two motherfuckers. And they didn't have no stable goddamn relationship in the last 10 years on this motherfucking show. Can we get my girl... Can we get Pam? We got a whole lemon bar cake in this motherfucker. Can we get my girl...
Oh, my God. That's the lemon bar.
You can find me at Rodrigo's World 81.
And Alan, when Peter Bergman and Jill Farron Phelps in Prospect Park come to serve us our lawsuit papers, where can they find you? Well, anyway, everybody, it has been such a joy to bring this podcast back to you, and we will see you next time on the chat. Have a good night.
That's why you can't
have
the
motherfucking talk show host of this shit. Cause I got some
shit to say to Willie Williams, bitch ass. And that bitch ass nigga. How you doing? Oh my God. I'm done. Messy, y'all hoes are messy.
Thank you.
We can show.